This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
The world of nominal cultural Christianity that took the American dream and added Jesus to it in order to say you can have everything you've ever wanted and heaven too is soon to be gone. Good riddance.
The transition of nothing to something is a natural one, not requiring an agent. That's crazy talk. He's just making this stuff up as he goes.
There's a little bit more than just, is it true? The real issue at hand is this word efficacious?
Duluth, Minnesota letter carriers love Issues Etc.
Well, more often than not nowadays, you hear a group of people referred to as sheep. It is not meant in a complimentary way. It's usually derogatory, usually intended as some kind of an insult. And yet, we are told, this is actually, for many Christians, what they were hearing yesterday. Jesus talking about a man who has 100 sheep, loses one, and goes to find that one, leaving the 99. And it's pretty clear from the reading of that parable that Jesus intends us to be the sheep in the parable. What does that mean? Is this an insult from the Lord? Is he intending us to kind of put us in our place by referring to us as sheep? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's the 16th of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor David Peterson joins us here in the first half hour of the program. We're going to answer that question, are Christians sheep? If so, what does it mean to be a sheep, to have Jesus as shepherd? Dr. Roland Ziegler joins us after that. We'll talk about some recent comments made by the Vatican's new Secretary of State. Some in the press have taken it to mean that Rome is ready to move to change its position on priestly celibacy. Is it a position? Is it a doctrine or something else? David Wood joins us after that. We'll be responding to some common Muslim objections to the Christian faith. And then Pastor Tom Baker will be teaching a Sunday school lesson with us. We'll be in 1 Kings chapters 5 and 6, Solomon building the temple. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor David Peterson is a regular guest. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in the latest Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled Call a Sheep. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
You say either you're a sheep or you're not a Christian. It's pretty harsh stuff. What do you mean?
Well, this is one of the chief metaphors in the way that we're described as being sheep, that we belong to a flock, that we have a shepherd, that we are potentially easy prey for the wolves, and we need protection and guidance.
We've come up with other metaphors or other ways of talking about ourselves and our shepherds, our pastors, that don't seem so insulting. As shepherd isn't insulting, but certainly sheep is, and shepherd implies sheep as well. So we have come up with other ones, such as leader or member. What do you make of those?
Well, there is a biblical use of the word member. In several places, we are members of the body of Christ. We are members of one another. But the word member is also used in the Bible as that which is sort of holding concupiscence or temptation, our desire to sin. So cast your eye off if one member causes you to sin. And I think that so that's the way the word member in the New Testament means like a part of your body. And in a positive sense, they're parts of a whole and they work together. Or in a negative sense, it's a part that has to be cut off if it's causing a problem. But I don't think that's the way that the word member rings in our ears in America today. I think the way that we hear the word member is that you are a member of Sam's Club or a country club or of some special group. And being a member has privileges and probably had some cost to getting into it. And that is a most unfortunate understanding or idea when it comes to thinking about what it is to be a Christian or to belong to a congregation. Okay. So I'm not a huge fan of the word member.
What do we hear today? Let's flesh this out a little bit. What do we hear today when we hear people referred to as sheep? What rings in our heads?
I think mainly insults. You know, we can find all sorts of quotes. I should have gathered some of them. But in this idea of the people are sheep and they have to be led. And, you know, we want to be the wolves. We want to be out front. I mean, you can find all sorts of, you know, political leaders talking that way, military people talking that way. That, you know, it's a sheep is somebody who's stupid and who's weak and, you know, is not admired, but has to be protected by the sort of real men, that's all that sort of stuff.
So it implies gullibility, easily led, kind of mindless, robotic following?
Yeah, inability to protect oneself or even to provide for oneself, all those things.
So how do we get to this point, Pastor Peterson, where people are still mostly comfortable with pastor as shepherd? They like to
right.
think of their pastor as a shepherd, but they don't want to think of themselves as sheep.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the problem. And I'm not sure, it could be pastor is Latin for sheep. So, or I'm sorry, Latin for shepherd. I mean, it could be that people don't know what the word pastor means or don't reflect upon it very much. And of course, I think that what they want out of their pastor is not someone who protects them from false doctrine or from temptation or someone who rebukes them when they're in danger. What they want from a pastor is just simply someone who empowers them to be a wolf themselves or someone who empowers them to be leaders so they can go out and lead other sheep and be strong and be successful and the like.
You spoke a moment ago about the term member and how we use it today is certainly not the biblical sense that it's used. What about leader?
Well, I think that's the same problem. We're kind of obsessed with leadership. You know, we don't have schools teaching people how to be followers, and we don't have, as a church body, I'm speaking from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our denomination, but I don't think it's common anywhere. Or what is common, I think, everywhere is we're very concerned about leadership. You know, leadership conferences and pastoral leadership. But of course, I mean, it's a bit strange that you know, the chief call to discipleship is follow me, not go lead my people. And even the charge that's given to St. Peter is not lead, but feed. So I think there's a little bit of a problem here, again, that we, in our fallen human flesh, are much more concerned with conquest and business and winning, and far less concerned with being fed and being faithful and receiving these things that we need.
Does it really matter? Someone says, what difference does it make what words we use? Does it matter?
Absolutely, because ideas have consequences, and God reveals himself through words. So the words do matter. The way that we conceive and speak of the world and our place in it and God's sacrifice for us in Christ and who we are in him, it absolutely matters. It's the difference between, well, the wrong words or the can easily mislead and deceive and leave us easy prey for those wolves again.
I wonder, Pastor Peterson, have you ever considered holding a followers conference instead of a leadership conference?
It would be fun. I wonder if anyone would come. So, I mean, I think it actually is a, I mean, we say it sort of jokingly. It sounds hilarious, the idea, but I think there's a real sense in which we do need to learn how to follow, how to listen to a sermon, how to read the Bible, how to receive Holy Communion. You know, we do this, at least I do this, and I bet you do too, when we have first communicants, children who are being admitted to the altar for the first time, we do actually take them into the church, into the communion rail, and I tell them, this is the way you do it. Now, of course, they're free to change and do it. But I mean, I mean, ceremonially, I tell them, okay, now you kneel, now you make the sign of the cross, now you say amen, and I actually lead them and teach them how to receive it, so they would learn the ceremonies at some point. And in that sense, they're being led in some ways and being taught to follow.
Do we have a choice in the matter? We talk about kind of the shepherd-sheep metaphor. They go together. We can't separate the two of them, although we've tried. Do we have a choice? Does Scripture say, well, shepherd-schmepherd, you can think of the pastor however you want to, sheep-schmeep, just whatever metaphor works for you?
Well, I don't think that it's the only metaphor, so I'd want to be a little bit careful. There obviously are other ways that the Scriptures speak of our relationship to God in Christ and that reconciled reality. And also, there are different ways that the Scriptures speak of our relationship to one another in the church and in our families. So I wouldn't want to say this is the only way we have to speak this way. At the same time, it certainly is a necessary way. It must be a component of how we understand who we are and how we speak about it.
Pastor David Peterson is our guest on this Monday afternoon, September the 16th. We're answering the question, are Christians sheep? Now, there's another one that people, they don't have a problem with thinking of themselves in a Christian congregation as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God. But tell them that the pastor is their father, their spiritual father, and many people will balk at the idea. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in the latest Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled Call a Sheep, or call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc. We'll be right back.
Yeah, Oktoberfest. Not in Munich, but in Kewaunee, Illinois, at St. Paul's. Sunday, October 13th to the 15th. If you've never been, you really need to come. It's the best party on the block. And our guest this year is Pastor Todd Wilkin of Issues Etc. We have worship and music, a speaker, and then brats and beer and laughter and loads of fun. Call us at 309-852-2461. Leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you. Yeah, Oktoberfest.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another and especially for those in need.
If you've ever considered the vocation of deaconess, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider October 10th through the 12th. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Peterson is our guest. We're answering the question, are Christians sheep? In about 10 minutes, Dr. Roland Ziegler will join us. We'll talk about some recent comments made by the Vatican's new Secretary of State about clerical celibacy. The news is reporting, generally, that this is signaling some kind of reconsideration of Catholic dogma, and we'll straighten that little story out in about 10 minutes here on Issues, Etc. Here's the one that I think, and I mentioned this both before the break, David, the one that I think probably riles more than shepherd and sheep, and that is people don't mind thinking themselves or even calling themselves brothers and sisters, or the church is a family, or children of God, something along those lines. But they don't want to talk about or think about their pastor as a father.
Right. I think that the kind of the hang-up here, it seems to me, first of all, this is obviously a very biblical way of speaking, and a very traditional way of speaking, and understanding of the relationship of pastor and people. I think that the difficulty for us is that when we hear the word father, for whatever reason, the image that pops into our mind is a young father with very young children, over whom he has total control and, you know, can spank them and the like. I don't know why that's just the image that is conjured up, I think, for most of us immediately. And that's not the only kind of father there is. I think really very much being a pastor is very much like being the father of adult children, in that all the pastor really has is influence. He can warn the people, he can encourage the people, but he really doesn't have any authority to do anything to them. So the illustration I use in the article is, you know, you can have a 30-year-old son who has an interview for a job in the morning but stays up all night playing video games, and his earthly father can really do nothing to stop it. I mean, all you can do is warn him and cajole him and pray for him and hope that somehow he comes through it and gets the job that he needs and grows up. But, you know, at 30 years old, you can't pick the kid up and stick him in bed and turn off the lights. You're just kind of stuck. All you can do is encourage and advise. And that is really kind of the relationship that the pastor has to the congregation. They're not little children in the sense. They're adult children. But the pastor does, in fact, I know we don't like to say this, we're sort of ashamed of it, but the pastor does know more than the people most of the time, almost always, when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to God, when it comes to spirituality. And that's not to say that the pastor has all of the examples, or even all of the answers, but even as an earthly father knows better than the 30-year-old who's staying up all night playing video games, and the 30-year-old might say, look, I can handle it. You know, I've been through this, I've done this before, I know what I'm doing, don't worry. And he might be almost right. I mean, he might pull it off. But the earthly father knows it's unwise, and it could have consequences, and he wants what's best for his son or his daughter. And that's the situation that the pastor often finds himself in. He does know more. He's been called by God to devote his life to these things and to the scriptures, and he's invested a great deal of time and effort into it, and it has given him a perspective that is more insightful, for the most part, when it comes to these things. So that's not to say the pastor's smarter, or the pastor's better, or the pastor's never right, or in no way is it to say that there are no incompetent or evil pastors, because, of course, that happens too. But I don't know. I've probably talked enough.
Well, I guess what most people bristle against is this notion that he could have any kind of authority. I mean, I think that's what really gets us up on our hind legs when it comes to thinking of pastors as fathers, which, by the way, is a thoroughly Lutheran notion. I mean, it is in our confessions, right, in particular our catechism, that pastors are spiritual fathers along with others as well. But it's this idea that he could have any kind of authority over me that I think people find so distasteful. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think it's, and the idea that, yeah, he has authority and that he has knowledge, that we're not just all equal at this, that we're, you know, armchair theologians are just sitting in the exact same position as pastors. And I think the pastors have been sort of ashamed or embarrassed of their authority because, you know, we're Americans and we don't want to pretend like there's ever any distinction among people, and we've kind of fed that thing. So I think what I often tell young pastors is, you know, you need to just rest in your authority and recognize that God has called you to this place. This is a mystical reality. God has done this. It has some physical consequences. You know, you've got a piece of paper and so forth. But this is a spiritual reality that he has called you. He has placed you. You are the pastor. You're the one he sent. It's the same sort of thing I tell mothers when they're worried about their incompetence and their inability and their fears as a mother. And I say, look, God could have given this baby to anybody. It's his child. He's the true mother, even if he's the true father. But you've been given stewardship over this baby over any other woman in the world. So just trust that God is good and knows what he's doing. So the authority thing is funny. I'm working on a paper for St. Michael's Conference in Detroit in 2 weeks on preaching. And I'm really kind of flummoxed by this at an experiential level, just anecdotally, what it is that the people, very much, the sheep, want their pastor to preach to them. There is something deeply dissatisfying about the idea, not that he could never do it, but about the pastor standing up in the pulpit and reading a sermon for Martin Luther or for Chrysostom or whatever. You can do that. There's a time for that. But if he does that 2 weeks in a row, he might get away with it. The third week, they're going to be mad. They're going to be completely dissatisfied because not that the stuff from Luther or Chrysostom wouldn't be excellent. It would be. The problem is they expect and want. There's something in them, and I think it's the Holy Spirit in them, that wants their pastor to interpret and apply the scriptures to them. And that's because they recognize at a base level his authority to do so, and they want him to exercise it.
I like the direction you were going with this because I think about it as being a biological father as well as a spiritual father. If I had with my children when they were growing up, as their biological father, kind of said, well, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know any more than you kids. You know, give me some advice on what I should do. If I accepted this kind of radical egalitarian impulse that runs through every strata of our society, my children probably wouldn't be alive today. I think it's pretty safe. And it would have been a very unloving thing to do. So why do pastors so willingly say, hey, who am I? I don't know anything. I don't have any authority around here. You know, maybe it accounts for a lot of the mischief in the church today.
I think it does. And I think it is born of, I don't think it comes from the laity. I think it comes from the clergy who are ashamed and embarrassed by their office because they don't want people to think that they think more of themselves than they should. You know, that's the sort of great sin of our culture in the Midwest. You know, God forbid we ever become uppity in any way. And so it's this kind of false humility that just feeds on itself, and it doesn't help anyone. You know, we need the policeman to be the policeman. We need the teacher to be the teacher. We need the parents to be the parents. We need the pastor to be the pastor. These things all serve together and work. So there's a great book by Deborah Tannen, a series of books. She's a linguist at either American University or George Washington. A popular one called He Wrote, He Said, She Said. And she goes through this thing, so it's so eye-opening to me, where she talks about the deepest relationships, the purest form of love, societal. So she asks Americans and Japanese and maybe some other people, what's the highest relationship, the deepest form of love or the purest form of love? And the Americans all say man and woman, right? Hopefully they'd say husband and wife, but whatever. Romance is the ideal form of love. And what's the worst? The worst is boss and employee, because that's like being a slave. That's a huge hierarchy. So the purest form of love is man and woman, and it's equality. They're perfect equals. She asked the Japanese the same question, and they say, surprisingly, not boss and worker, but mother and child, which is the greatest hierarchy sort of all, because the child has no... And what Tannen does, it turns out the Japanese see equality as being a problem because when you're equal, you're competing. So you can't trust your peers, even your wife, because if you're equal, you're competing, whereas the hierarchy is structure and it's safe. And I think what we think of hierarchy, we think boss and employee. When they think hierarchy, they think mother-child. Is really, I don't think one's right, one's wrong, but I think it's very telling. And I think interesting for us when we resist hierarchy in the church, we ought to recognize that maybe we're just being kind of too American in that and not reading the scriptures for its fullness.
Chet is listening in East St. Louis. A very quick call from Chet. Welcome.
Yeah, Pastor Todd mentioned this. People have an aversion to the imagery of considering the pastor as father, and I have to say I'm guilty of that. I was thinking of the one scripture I believe it was Jesus said, "Call no man father but your father which is in heaven." So I'm trying to understand, is there some kind of Latin translation or scriptural understanding that supports that? Because I always felt like there was one knock on the Roman Catholic Church, and in spite of what Christ said, they call all of their pastors father anyway. So can you kind of...
Right.
Chet, thank you very much. He's referring there to Matthew 23, verse 9, obviously, Pastor Peterson. What are your thoughts?
Well, Chet's exactly right, but Jesus isn't speaking there in a literal way. It's very similar to how when he says, if your eye causes you to sin, cast it out. Because, of course, in the Bible, there are people called father. And we have never shied away from calling our biological father's father. Right? He says, call no man father. So if it was literal, we should not call our dads dad. Right? So what he means here is we should recognize fully that God, as Luther teaches us in the Catechism, that God is our true father, and we have no other father except for God. But God does provide for us here on earth through earthly fathers. And in the first place, that would be our biological dads. Those who hopefully, or adoptive parents, but it would also include other authorities that God provides for us so that we see our dads or our adopted dads, whoever it is, we would see them as God's hands in this world and the means by which he serves and provides for us. And that includes then also pastors, because God provides for us through all of those offices.
With only about 30 seconds, you say, let's just be sheep. What in particular do you mean by that with only 30 seconds, Pastor Peterson?
Let's be sheep and let's recognize that we are utterly dependent upon God, that he does provide for us, that we are easily misled and we are in danger, and that therefore we need to, and God be praised, he provides his word to God and sacrament to provide us through this world.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of an article in the latest Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, titled Call a Sheep a Sheep. Pastor Peterson, thank you very much for being our
thank
guest.
Thank you, Todd.
By the way, you can find out more about Gottesdienst at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to talk about some recent comments made by the Vatican's new Secretary of State about clerical celibacy. Is it over? Are they not teaching it anymore? Did they ever really teach it? Dr. Roland Ziegler will be our guest. Stay tuned.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois.
Advent Lutheran, Zionsville, Indiana, Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Worth, Texas, Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon, St. John's Lutheran, Evanston, Indiana, Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas, Good Shepherd Lutheran, Boise, Idaho, Village Lutheran, Ladue, Missouri, Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa, St. Paul Lutheran, Clarinda, Iowa, Trinity Lutheran, Lebanon, Missouri, Mount Calvary Lutheran, Excelsior Springs, Missouri, the Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California, Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Freeburg, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues Etc. journal.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.